Welcome to the Georgia Today podcast from GPB News. Today is Tuesday, June 11th. I'm Peter Biello. On today's episode, hotel chain Red Roof Inn is in court in Atlanta over sex trafficking allegations. Delta Airlines shareholders demand the company stop fighting its workers' attempts to unionize. And we ask, you answered, and abortion is near the top of your list of most important issues this election year. These stories and more are coming up on this edition of Georgia Today. As part of our 2024 election coverage, GPB is talking to Georgia voters to learn what your top issues are. And so far, we've learned you're concerned about the economy, political division, and, near the top of the list, reproductive rights and abortion access. Ahead of the first presidential election since the overturning of Roe v. Wade, GPB's Sarah Callis explains the political landscape for abortion in Georgia.
Abortion unexpectedly became an issue in Georgia's May election. John Barrow, a challenger to Georgia Supreme Court Justice Andrew Pinson, campaigned on a pro-abortion platform. While Barrow did not win, he received 45% of the vote in the statewide contest. Meanwhile, grassroots movements in other states, like Florida, have put abortion access on the ballot directly for voters to decide. But in Georgia, there will be no citizen-led ballot referendum on abortion.
We've seen across the country citizen-led ballot initiatives or referendums. And unfortunately, Georgia's constitution does not permit that.
That's State Representative Shea Roberts. She says what Georgia's constitution does allow are ballot initiatives approved by state legislators. So she filed a bill last session that would allow citizens to vote on a constitutional amendment, which, if approved, would allow citizen-led ballot referendums. Absent that, and in Georgia's Republican-controlled legislature, a referendum on abortion access is unlikely. So, says Roberts.
But unfortunately, in Georgia right now, our only option is for us to elect pro-reproductive freedom candidates if we want to see change.
In responses to GPB's voter survey, listeners have implied choosing candidates whose abortion stances align with their own is extremely important this year. Chris Tribish is one of those listeners. She's an attorney living in East Cobb County.
If you know a woman, love a woman, know or love anybody that is reproducing, you would want to protect their rights. It's just, it's critical. Bodily autonomy is critical and it's important.
Layla Brooks is a PhD candidate at Emory University researching gender and politics and says that when abortion becomes a campaign issue in the state, more women turn up to the polls.
But in states where abortion was salient or important for the actual outcome, based on the outcome of the election where abortion was important, I do find that women turned out to vote at greater rates than women in states where abortion was not salient.
Brooks examined all 50 states. She said that women, Democrats and Republicans alike, are more likely to participate in elections where abortion is salient, whether they are pro-abortion or anti-abortion.
When women feel like they've been called upon in some way, or it's like their responsibility, or when women truly care about an issue, they're going to be more likely to turn out to vote and participate in politics.
Meanwhile, both President Joe Biden and former President Donald Trump are prioritizing abortion in their campaigns. For GPB News, I'm Sarah Callis in Atlanta.
If you have not taken our voter survey, GPB still wants to hear from you. What are your top three issues, and how will they inform your vote this November? Make your voice heard and fill out our voter survey at gpb.org/election. It'll help inform our coverage of this year's election. Jury selection was set to begin in an Atlanta courtroom today in what could be a historic sex trafficking trial against Red Roof Inn. Emma Hetherington leads the University of Georgia School of Law's Child Endangerment and Sexual Exploitation Clinic. She says it's the first time a national hotel brand, not just owners or franchisees, could go to trial over accusations that it had direct knowledge of human trafficking at its locations.
It would be very hard to believe that the national corporation had really no idea. And the standard of negligence of that they knew or should have known, I mean, you can't just turn a blind eye.
The lawsuit involves two Red Roof Inn locations in Metro Atlanta and still could be settled, as was another case against the company last year. Red Roof Inn denies the allegations and says it's working to eradicate trafficking and exploitation. Shareholders for Delta Airlines make up the latest group demanding the company allow employees to organize. GPB's Amanda Andrews reports the move comes ahead of an annual investor meeting in less than 2 weeks.
Delta Investor Amalgamated Bank filed a resolution with the board of directors asking the company to adopt a non-interference policy. Employees have reported threats of consequences if they choose union representation since organizing efforts ramped up in 2022. Lindsay Fritz is the bank's corporate social responsibility officer. She says there are indications many workers at Delta are dissatisfied.
Respecting worker rights to freely associate, bargain collectively, and work in a safe and healthy environment has been shown to have positive effects for both workers and companies and may help investors secure more stable returns in challenging environments.
Delta investors will have the opportunity to vote on the resolution before the meeting on June 20th. For GPB News, I'm Amanda Andrews.
The city of Savannah is rolling out a new campaign to cut down on graffiti and beautify busy streets. As GPB's Benjamin Payne reports, the effort centers around so-called traffic cabinets.
They're those big metal boxes you sometimes see near stoplights, which on the inside house electrical components for traffic signals. But on the outside, they often attract graffiti. To try to deter tagging, Savannah officials are covering 24 traffic cabinets with graffiti-resistant, easy-to-clean vinyl laminates. And on those laminates are archival images showcasing the Savannah of yesteryear. Luciana Spraker is the city's director of municipal archives. She calls the new program
a win-win to address the graffiti issues, but also to support community history. It was a lot of fun to tie those locations to images that were specific to those areas.
For example, a traffic cabinet near Forsyth Park now displays an old photo of the iconic Forsyth Fountain circa 1902. For GPB News, I'm Benjamin Payne in Savannah.
4 years after the height of the COVID-19 pandemic, state health officials are closing the last remaining COVID-19 community testing sites. The Georgia Department of Public Health said yesterday the sites will close at the end of the month. They've largely been replaced by kiosks that dispense testing kits for both COVID-19 and influenza. A map of kiosk locations can be found at dph.georgia.gov/COVID testing. A divided commission in Metro Atlanta's Cobb County has agreed to ask local voters in November whether they want a 30-year 1% sales tax to fund public transportation improvements. The 3-2 vote this morning was along party lines, with Democratic County Chairwoman Lisa Cupid leading the yes votes.
What it comes down to is, do we perceive that the future is worth it? That the opportunity is worth it? Yes, the details do matter, but the opportunity and the vision also matters.
Republican commissioners questioned the length, cost, and need for the tax. Cobb County voters have shot down public transit taxes twice in the past 3 decades, but local Democrats hope the latest proposal and the county's shifting politics will produce a different outcome this year. Governor Brian Kemp is on his way to South Korea in his 6th overseas trip as governor. Kemp left late last night for a roughly 10-day trip to the Asian nation. State officials say the governor plans to visit with South Korean businesses that either do business in Georgia or might open locations in the state. A growing number of suspects is facing felony charges in a shooting in Savannah last month that injured 11 people. Savannah police are seeking 2 men on arrest warrants, charging them with aggravated assault and other crimes stemming from the violence. That's according to a police spokesman. And that is after police made their 5th arrest in the case last week. Savannah Police Chief Lenny Gunther has said a late-night argument between 2 women led to multiple shooters opening fire in the city's Ellis Square on May 18th. The James Beard Foundation presented its annual awards for outstanding restaurants and chefs at a ceremony in Chicago yesterday. Only one Georgia restaurant or chef was up for recognition. And although Atlanta Thai restaurant Talat Market didn't win in its category, Atlanta food writer Mike Jordan picked up a media award for 3 stories published in Atlanta Magazine.
This is really not just my award. Atlanta is the biggest underdog in this culinary scene. I argue with very famous people about Atlanta's dining scene all the time.
6 Georgia chefs have won Best Chef Southeast since 2003. The James Beard Awards are one of the restaurant industry's top recognitions, known as the Oscars of Food. In sports, the Atlanta Braves are in Baltimore today to face the Orioles in the first of a three-game series. Max Fried is scheduled to get the start for the Braves. Fried struck out 13 batters in his most recent outing, which is a career high. And in college baseball, the Georgia Bulldogs lost to NC State yesterday 8-5 in Game 3 of the NCAA Baseball Athens Super Regional. And though they won't advance to the College World Series, the Bulldogs finished the 2024 season with a record of 43-17, their best since 2019. In basketball, Atlanta Dream head coach Tanisha Wright will serve as a scout for the 2024 USA Basketball Women's National Team at the 2024 Paris Olympic Games. USA Basketball made the announcement today. The Women's National Team will pursue their 8th consecutive gold medal and 10th overall at the 2024 Paris Olympic Games. And finally, former Georgia Tech athletic director Homer Rice has died. The university announced his death last night. Rice was athletic director from 1980 to 1997. Under his leadership, the Yellow Jackets won 15 ACC championships in 5 sports. The university says he implemented the total person program out of his belief that excellence comes from a balanced life. It's now regarded as the model for the NCAA's life skills program. Homer Rice was 97 years old. And that is it for this edition of Georgia Today. If you want to learn more about any of these stories, visit gpb.org/news. And if you haven't subscribed to this podcast yet, I highly recommend you do it now. We will be back automatically tomorrow on your podcast feed if you do. And if you've got feedback, we would love to hear from you. Send us an email. The address is georgiatoday@gpb.org. I'm Peter Biello. Thanks for listening. We'll see you tomorrow.